Amen. Amen. Thank you. Good morning. You guys doing good? All right. Well, hey, if you would grab your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 13. As you are turning there, just want to let you know of a couple of things. First off, there are a couple mission opportunities over the summer. There's a first one. This will be a build. You will build a church building like this in Suriname, if that interests you at all, February 6th through the 14th. Please come see me at some point. I'd love to be able to answer some questions. Maybe just be able to, cast a little bit of vision as to what's going on, how the Lord has been using that. And anyway, this is the first one coming up. We have several in the summer, and so there'll be more opportunities. We'll let you know about those as they come, as we get a little closer. Wanted you that to be on your radar. Come see me. Here in John chapter 15, Jesus is meeting with his disciples. They're in the upper room. He has already taken them from the upper room. The upper room is where he washed their feet. He instituted the Lord's Supper. He told them that he was going to be arrested, ultimately die on the cross. Taking them, though, he crosses over, headed to the garden where he would ultimately be arrested. I believe on his way he stopped off, maybe a vineyard, and brings us to where we're at here in John 15. Today, this morning, as we have lit the candle, the hope candle during this, the joy candle during this Advent season, today we will be talking about the joy of Jesus. The joy of Jesus, I say it like that because it comes from Jesus. It isn't something that we manufacture. It's not something that we do in and of ourselves, but it is empowered by and comes by the power of Jesus. And so in understanding that, I want to actually go to the end of the passage that we're going to read. If you would, look with me at verse 11 of chapter 15. He says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." He says it this way, that my, talking about the joy of Jesus, would be in each one of us and that our joy would be full. This word in the original language of full, it means overflowing, to the brim. It is all the way full. It means that it is complete. And so that is the prayer, that is the hope, or that is the promise that Jesus is giving us as he says these things, and we'll unpack what he says here, but I want you to know where we're headed. It is a hope that he gives us, and it is one in which would make ultimately our joy full. And so, with that in mind, with that promise that he's given us, I think it is a great then question, well then how do we get that? How do we walk in that? How do we live our lives in the midst of this joy? How do we have this joy that then would overflow in everything that we do? And so, if you would, if you're able to, don't mind standing with me as we read. We're going to start, I think I have verse 5 is where we start, but we're actually going to start in verse 4. So if you would, read with me verse 4. "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." So get this picture. You have a branch. If a branch is laying on the ground, it's not going to produce fruit because it's not connected to the vine or to the tree. And so he says, by itself, you can't bear fruit. You only can as you abide or remain or stay connected to the vine. And I think it's important that we have that picture in our mind as we read this. Verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that you would speak to us this morning through it. Help us to see the need of a dependence upon you. Lord, that we would so cling to you that, Lord, when we try to do things on our own, we are just reminded of how much we need you. And so, God, that is our prayer. If there are things in our lives in which we are doing on our own, I pray that each one of us will repent of those, will cling to you and be obedient as you lead us. And so, God, I pray that we become men and women, boys and girls who are known by our faith, our love for you, by the fact that we abide in you. So, Lord, overwhelm us with your joy. Help that to be lived out in what we say and what we do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. Here, I love this passage so much because I believe it speaks clearly as to the day-in, day-out life of a believer. You and I are to cling to Jesus. We are to abide. The calling is of every believer is that we bear fruit. And no branch can bear fruit by itself. And I think it's important that the branch, to understand that the branch doesn't eat the fruit either. So the fruit's not for you. The fruit is for others. It is ultimately, as pointed out here by Jesus, it is that the Father would be glorified, what he says in 8. And also that our fruit would so prove that we are his disciples. And so you are called to bear fruit. And I think that as we define what fruit is, there are multiple definitions. The Bible speaks of fruit in multiple different ways. Obviously, fruit would be multiplying, so sharing the gospel. Fruit would be the very life of Jesus being lived out in and through us. That would be fruit. We also have the picture in Galatians of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. I think I missed one in there, but anyway. And so we to live those out. Those are to be lived out in, I think it's kind of interesting just as you go through life that you hear people say, well, you know, don't pray for patience because then you're going to be tested on it, right? And I think the reality is as a believer, you and I already have patience. It's a fruit of the Spirit that is in us. We have to pray for more, but what we need to pray for is faith to enact it, right? Faith to step in that and to walk in that. Same with self-control. Same with joy. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It's there. Some of us just need to tell our face more often, right? I mean, it's something that we need to walk in and live out and trust and know. Like, it's there. It's a fruit of the Spirit that is in us. And so I think that we can confidently say if that fruit is not there, if you are not walking in joy, it might be because you don't believe that the Spirit produces that in you. And so my prayer is then today is that each one of us walks out of here with a confidence. My joy doesn't come from a circumstance. It definitely doesn't come from other people. I mean, God forbid that we put that on our spouse, that they bear the burden to make us joyful, right? No, that's not on your spouse. Your spouse isn't going to make you happy, let alone joyous, right? That only comes from the Spirit that is in us. And so, man, what a great promise that he's given us, that his joy would be in us and that joy would be full to the brim. And so today, I want us to see as we dive in that there are a couple of things that he points out and he promises. And the first one is very clear, is that the joy of Jesus is full. It is a full joy. It is one that is complete. We don't have to have anything else. And I think that it is so sad when we see maybe even sometimes believers walk around and we would not characterize them as having a full joy. And it may be because they're looking to other things other than abiding in Jesus to be fulfilled or to be happy. So, for instance, maybe you're looking to the things of this world. Maybe you're putting everything on whether or not your family is perfect. Or maybe your kids are not living life the way that you think they should or whatever. If all of that, you see, those are circumstances that we're involved in, not the joy that is promised by Jesus. And so the joy is not based upon circumstance, but it comes from Jesus. I love how here he promises of where the joy comes from. Even if you would, as he's praying for the disciples in chapter 17, turn with me there real quick. Look at verse 13. He says, "But now I'm coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they," talking about his disciples or the believers, "may have my joy fulfilled in themselves." He again, even he tells them that joy comes from him and it's going to be in them and make them full. But then here he's talking to the Father and he's actually praying, help them to know, help them that they would receive or that they would have this my joy fulfilled in themselves. He's letting us know where this joy comes from. It comes from Jesus. That's why John 15, that's why Jesus told them, abide in me, cling to me, live your life holding on to me. This is one of the reasons why one of our core values is to depend upon God. It is that we would realize that our everything in life, that we would rely upon God's strength to in every aspect of that. And so our core value here is that we rely on God's strength, wisdom, and provision in every aspect of our lives, recognizing that true growth and change come as we abide in him. Amen? That's where growth comes. If you think that you ought to be closer or more mature in your walk with the Lord, then I want to tell you, then spend time with him. Abide in him. Throughout the day, call to him. Lord, what do you want me to do in this situation? And then be obedient. I think it's very interesting that Jesus here talked about if we're going to abide in his love, it's going to be by us keeping his commandments. Obedience. There is not anything in life that I can find that brings more joy than when I step in obedience to the Holy Spirit, and then somehow God allows me to be a part of what he's doing. It may be just to encourage a brother and sister in Christ. It may be in planting a seed and sharing the gospel. It may be getting to see someone come to know the Lord or being a part of baptism or whatever it may be. There's nothing more joyous in this life than being a part of what God is doing. And I think sometimes as believers, we miss that. We miss out on those things. Even in sharing the gospel, I think that sometimes in sharing the gospel, we think that it's for the people we're sharing with, and that's true. It's hope. It's life-giving. It is the way unto salvation. But there is a joy that comes over us as we proclaim the gospel. First off, we're reminded of where we used to be, and then there's such joy that comes as God is faithful to give us the words, to give us the confidence or the courage. There's so much that happens in those moments, I think, that we miss out on. And so obedience brings us closer, and we can experience that joy. Johnny Erickson Tada, she was used as an example for our first hope candle of hope. But what a great example of a life. Here, when she was 17 in 1967, she dove into shallow water in the Chesapeake Bay, thinking that it was deeper, and she broke her neck. And so she was now in a wheelchair, has been since she was 17, over 57 years. The doctors have not given her much hope. And so she struggled in the early years of being in the wheelchair with depression, even asking God either to heal her or to bring her home. When she gave her life to Jesus, she decided that she was going to abide in him and live her life in obedience to Jesus. And since then, God has used her to encourage and to challenge so many. Johnny was... Since giving her life to the Lord, she has radiated the joy that stuns everyone. She now is married. She founded the Joni and Friends, which is a global ministry serving families. Sorry, Johnny and Friends. Serving families affected by disability. She even took up painting, learning to paint by putting a brush in her mouth. She has written books. She has speaks worldwide. She sings hymns with a smile of the joy that has come from Jesus. And she openly admits that there are days and times of great sorrow, but at the same time, great joy as she lives out this life following Christ. She has overcome two battles of cancer, and yet in all of this, as the world would look on, a woman stuck in a wheelchair, dealing with cancer, overcoming it twice, as someone that her cup should be empty, she is one who has chosen to live in the power of Jesus, that joy would come from him and him alone. And man, how amazing. What a great example. She also has a ministry. It's called Wheels for the World. She collects and restores wheelchairs, oftentimes by prison inmates, and has distributed over 230,000 wheelchairs. She has just chosen to be obedient to Jesus and to walk by faith. Amen? And so you and I, no matter what you're dealing with, we must know where joy comes from. It comes from Jesus. And this is why Jesus, in the greatest, right before he's getting ready to be arrested and go to the cross, what did he tell his disciples? Except but to cling to him, to remain connected to him, to walk with him. And this is the same message that he gives us. Cling to him. It's not some just mystical thing that you and I walk with Jesus. It is a relationship that we walk with him through life, knowing that he is there, knowing that he empowers, knowing that the joy will come from him. And so, cling to him. When you don't know what to do, run to him. When you're overwhelmed or stressed, as we looked at last week, then you go to him because there is a peace that will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And so, we come to him, and we stay connected to him. And we do that by spending time in his word, praying to him, relying upon him, stepping in faith. So the first thing is it is a full joy. The second thing I want you to see is that it is an unshakable joy. It is unshakable because no one can take it away. No one or nothing can take it away. Jesus said this in chapter 16. Look at verse 22. Here he's talking to the disciples, and this is what he says. He says, "So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." No one can take it away. If someone takes your joy away, it's because you've given them the power to do so. You've allowed them to do that. And you must not understand where it comes from. Because here is the promise, is it's unshakable. No one can take it away from you. Now, you can relinquish it, but they can't take it away from you because it didn't come from them anyway. It comes from Jesus. And so, as we understand that, then think about it. No one, no spouse, no relative, no co-worker, no situation, no disease, no cancer, no sickness, nothing then can take it away because that's not where it came from. So we can walk through this life, even in the face of death, even in the face of what many would say, no hope. And we can do so with great courage because the joy is rooted in Jesus. Richard Wurmbrand is a pastor from Romania. He is of Jewish descent. In 1948, he was arrested. He spent 14 years in prison. Three of those years were in solitary confinement, complete darkness, no light, no one to talk to, no one to look at. 3 years. Richard Wurmbrand, in the nights and moments when he was all alone, had literally nothing. He said it was in those moments that the closeness of Jesus was overwhelming to him. It was in the moments even of torture where there was great communion with the Savior, and even at times learned that as he would be taken to go be tortured, he said it was the very torturers that he began to have a heart for. That the joy of Jesus so overwhelmed his heart that he began to pray for his torturers and then even began to love them. He clung to Christ through constant communion. He had no Bible, no paper. He composed and memorized hundreds of rhyming sermons that later he would write down. The cell became a sanctuary of fellowship. He preached nightly to unseen audiences, to God alone, right? There were times when he would dance when the guards weren't looking. Other times that he would gather other inmates around and they would begin to pray or sing or worship or share verses that they had memorized or that the Holy Spirit had brought to mind. One of the things that pointed to this unshakable joy that he had, he pointed to that his love for these torturers. But he later said that the real tragedy wasn't the prison, but that many Christians lived their whole lives without ever entering this depth of abiding closeness because they're surrounded by noise and comfort. We get so distracted by the things in our life that abiding in Christ is something far-fetched. How do we cling to the one whom we don't even give time to? We don't even put our thoughts on because we fill it with music and even sometimes worship music, but it's just filled with noise to where rarely are we in silence to just lift our minds or our hearts or our worship to Jesus himself. So I want to challenge you. If joy comes from Jesus and it's an unshakable joy, and that comes by abiding in with him and having our hearts set upon him, then you and I must make sure that we are spending time with the one whom we say that we abide in. That throughout the day or moments of time when we're tempted to lash out or respond in a way that is not honoring or we're tempted to sin, that we choose Jesus over that and we run to him and we ask him, Jesus, what do you want me to do in this moment? And then obey. Trust him in that. Last thing I want you to see is not only does the joy come from Jesus, it's full joy. Not only is it unshakable, but it is also transferred to us by him. In other words, it is one that he has, but he gives to us, and he gives it freely. It's transferred. It's transferable. I love his promise is that he says that I'm giving you my joy. My joy. Think about it. This is a joy that has been with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit from the beginning. It is a joy that we got to see lived out throughout Scripture. It is a joy that we saw overflowed to those who were hurting and without hope. It was a joy that people wanted to come and follow. It was a joy that people rushed and would cram in places just to hear some of the words that would come from the one who would share joy. That joy is a joy that he promises you and I can have and walk in. I believe that every time we choose Jesus over the things of this world, it is a joy that will rush into our lives. And so it is a joy that I love that he pointed out, even exemplified as he was obedient to the Father, we too are to be obedient and to remain in and abide in that love. There is a devout Muslim apologist. His name was Nabil Qureshi. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but he wrote the book, Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. He would go around and he would, before meeting Jesus, he would go around and he would debate Christians and ultimately pointing to Allah being the one true God. It's pretty neat how he even came to know Jesus. It was through the debaters, those who he met with, the graciousness many times that they showed, the wisdom that they spoke of, the power of the gospel that they spoke about. But then dreams and visions, God pursued him, and ultimately he surrendered his life to Jesus. And since then has gone around sharing and proclaiming He has obviously speaks and shares the gospel with Muslims. At the age of 33 in 2016, by this time he had a daughter, he was diagnosed with advancing stage 4 stomach cancer. Facing excruciating treatments, the reality was that he knew that because the doctor, unless God did miraculously healed him, that ultimately he wouldn't live very much longer. And so what he chose to do was to abide in Jesus, that he would dive into the Word of God, that he would allow the joy of Christ to be lived out through him. And he testified that all suffering is worth it to follow Jesus. He says he is that amazing. Even as death approached, he said, "It was in my pain that I knew him intimately. To follow him is worth giving up everything." Nabil ultimately, to follow Jesus, knew that his parents would disown him and that ultimately the rest of his family would as well. But for him, following Christ, he says he's worth losing everything for. In 2017, at the age of 34, he went to be with Jesus, went to be home with Jesus. But the joy that he lived in still continues to touch through his book, through many videos that he does, continues to touch lives. And so I say all of that to say, here's three examples of people in the midst of whatever trials and storms and struggles of life, who their own words, by abiding in and clinging to Jesus, found joy, even in the midst of that. And I know this life is hard, it is broken. And I know, just in knowing many of the stories of this room, there are many right now walking through storms and struggles. And I just want to tell you, the hope that Jesus gave to his disciples, abide in him. Cling to him, run to him, find your strength in him. When you are weak, when the enemy accuses you of being weak, agree with him, and knowing that as you depend upon God, that is when you are strong. And then when you don't know where to take the next step or how to take the next step, trust him, ask him, apply the promises that he gives you in his word, know his word, allow the Spirit to lead you, and when he does, I'm telling you that others will see the joy that you have, just as people have seen the joy of these three. And in seeing the joy of these three, they too, many, have come to know Jesus. And I want to tell you, you and I, because of the hope and the joy that comes from Jesus, we should always be ready and willing to share it. Amen? And so, in doing that, we give him glory. We lift him up, because it's all about him. You see, if not, we will run to or live in or cling to selfishness or the things of this world, and we'll try to believe even that they will make me happy. We'll look to our spouse or to loved ones, and we'll look, because of decisions they've made, that I don't have any joy because of this situation that I'm in. And I just want to remind you, joy doesn't come from them. It comes from Jesus. And so today, in the way of application, do you have the joy of Jesus? Do you know him? Have you surrendered your life to him? Or are you still running after the things of this world? Are you the center of your own world, to where you are expecting yourself to make the right choices so that you somehow will be happy? I want to tell you, it comes from Jesus, and it comes by knowing him and surrendering your life to him. Do you know him? Do you have joy that living in you and through you? Or are you allowing people or circumstances to dictate the joy, whether you have joy or not? You see, one is situational, circumstantial. The other is promised through the power of the Holy Spirit. Second thing, will you seek to abide in and depend upon Jesus? Will you abide in Jesus? Will you cling to him? Will you know him? Will you open his word? Will you ask him? Will you live your life in obedience to him and then depend upon him? The great promise of that is that he is not going to equip you to do anything that he doesn't call you to. He's going to equip you as he calls you. Okay, I don't know if I said that the right first time. And so that's a great promise to know that when he leads or as the Spirit guides, he's going to give you the words. He promises that. Or that when he caused you to step out on some new adventure, he's with you the whole time. And that's the promise. So we can trust him. We can have a great confidence in that. And so, man, be obedient. Run to, cling to, obey him as you do. Will you let the joy of Jesus live in you and through you? Man, believe. The power of the Holy Spirit is in you. Overflow with the joy to others. Let them see it, just like letting your light shine. Let them see the light so that they too will worship Jesus. Let them know where the joy comes from. Today, if you haven't already, will you surrender your life to Jesus? He's there. He stands with arms open, ready to show you love and grace, just as he showed those whom he encountered as he walked this earth. Run to him. Believe in him. You see, each one of us are in need of a Savior because we're broken. This whole world is broken. We can see it. We can see it with the war, the people's selfish decisions. We can see it even in this time of year as people make this time of year about only selfishness, right? Pride. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And because of that sin, the wages of that sin is death. We deserve a punishment. But God so loved you that he sent Jesus, born of a virgin, to live a sinless life, ultimately to go to the cross, to pay the price for your sin and my sin. The wages of sin was death. Jesus paid that wage for you and for me. And he tells us that if we would believe in him, surrender our lives to him, follow him, that he will fill us with the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit will give us joy unspeakable. That Holy Spirit will give us peace that will guard our hearts and our minds. And here is the prize and the treasure of following Christ. It's that you get to know him and walk with him. And that one day, the prize isn't heaven. The prize is that Jesus is there. Amen? And so, today, would you turn from your life, your sin, and would you run after Jesus? Believe in him. Trust him. Follow him. Let's bow before the Lord. Father, we want to thank you for being an amazing God. We thank you for the love that you have shown us, the joy that is promised. And Lord, I pray that we would realize that it is full, that it comes from you, that it is unshakable. No one can steal it or rob it from us. And so, God, we just pray right now that we would walk in that. Help us to cling to you, to abide in you. And God, I pray that you would bring life. Lord, today, if there's someone here who's not yet trusted in you, I pray even right now in this moment, Lord, that they call to you in faith, crying out, acknowledging that they've sinned against you, trusting in the payment of that sin as you went to the cross, rose from the dead victorious. And so, God, we ask that you would forgive us, lead us, help us to follow you in all that we say and do. So, God, I pray you give courage for those to acknowledge their decision to follow you, make that known, make it public. I pray as believers that we would be filled with your joy and so live that out. Lead us from here. Help us to point people to you in all that we say and all that we do. In the name of Jesus that we pray, amen.